You guys were already there this morning, so if you'll go ahead and turn back in your Bibles back to 2 Kings chapter number 2. That's where our context scripture will be from this morning. 2 Kings chapter 2. I'm going to go ahead and read those first 18 verses again, just so they're fresh and new in our minds, and then we'll get into God's Word. And share what he has for us this morning. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 through 18. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Elisha was a faithful brother to Elijah. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Could you imagine having followed this man and continuing to follow this man as a mentor, as someone that you loved and dearly cared about, and you were being told consistently in every city that you went that he would be taken from you this day. Yet Elisha still faithfully followed Elijah as they traveled into these different cities, even though Elijah would often tell Elisha to tarry where they were. And the sons of the prophet that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elijah and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire that parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. If you want a title for the message this morning, it's that right there, the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, Behold, now there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said, Ye shall not send. And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, Send. They sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. And when they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto him, Did I not say unto you, Go not? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you would help me. Help me to preach your word as you would have it. Help me to encourage your children. Lord, that's my desire this morning. It's always my desire as I stand behind this pulpit. Lord, is to preach the word of God and to encourage your children. I pray you would help me to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see Elisha and his mentor Elijah. Elijah and Elisha both know that Elijah will be taken at some point. God has said so. And Elijah has traveled then into these cities, and Elisha did not want to leave him, so he stayed by his side as they traveled through. And in every city they went to, men would tell him, "Don't you know that your mentor is going to be taken?" And he said, "I know, but leave me alone." And as they traveled to the bank of the Jordan, Elijah wrapped his mantle and struck the ground, and the Lord parted the waters, and they traveled across on dry land. And Elisha asked Elijah, "Before you go, the one thing that I have that I ask is that you would give me a double portion of your spirit." And Elijah said, "If you see me taken up by the whirlwind, it'll happen. But if you don't, it will not happen." And then a chariot of fire and horsemen parted them asunder, which split them apart. And Elijah was caught up by the whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah, obviously heartbroken, cried, "My father, my father." But he then picked up the mantle of Elijah that fell and went and actually smote the waters of Jordan again as he cried out, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And the waters parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over the same way he came. So what's the point of all of that? I've been in this church for long enough to see the departure of many. A lot of our older folks, a lot of those that were here whenever I was first saved 12 years ago. I've seen a lot of pass. I've been to a lot of funerals. We've watched brothers and sisters move away. We've watched brothers and sisters take jobs. We've watched those that we thought were brothers and sisters or those that were faithful walk away from the faith. We've seen a lot of change. One of the things that I hold dear to is on our Thanksgiving meals, before we pray, as we're holding hands, our pastor reminds us that to look around, because this is the last time we'll ever be like this together. It has struck me as a reminder that things change. People get old, people pass away, people move away, people fall away. And it's something as a church we've seen. And as I look out this morning, I see the faithful of God, those that I know that would go to battle with me, those that I know that would hold my arms up, because you have. And as we approach some of these ministries, and as we are in the midst of some of these ministries, I want to encourage the brethren that there is going to be a time, there is a time at this moment in this, in the life of the church, that brothers and sisters need to pick up the mantle. There comes a moment in every believer's life when God calls us from just following to becoming. He calls us from just following a man. He calls us from just following behind in ministry. He calls us into something more. If you are called of God, if you are called into the ministry, if you are called to preach, if you're called to evangelism, if you're called to teach, there's going to be a moment in your life that God takes you from just following and learning to being exactly what you're supposed to be and giving you positions of leadership. It is not a peculiar thing to me that we're about to vote on our officers and our positions this evening as God gave this message. Being honest with you, I forgot. It was news to me because I have a sermon for this evening to you, Brother Jonathan. We go from watching others carry the mantle to realizing now that it lays across your shoulders. Elijah's departure was not an ending, but it was a divine handoff to Elisha. It wasn't an ending of a ministry. It was a handoff to the next man up. God was moving his power from one vessel to another. He didn't just stop, but he gave a double portion to the next man of God. As it was then, so it is now, that the mantles of faith, the mantles of prayer, the mantles of ministry, and even the mantles of raising our family are meant to fall, not to the ground, but to the next generation. And that's exactly what we see here in the book of 2 Kings with Elijah to Elisha, is that there's going to come a time in the church where those mantles are going to fall. And it's up to us to catch them. It's up to the next generation to step in. It's up to us to break those generational iniquities in our family. It's up to us as young men, Brother Jonathan, Brother Bobby, Matthew, many of us young men, to raise our families in a way that was different even than our people, our families. There is a mantle that's going to fall, and it's going to fall to you and I. I don't mean for this to be heavy. This was heavy for me. But there comes a journey, and we see that. And this is one of the most beautiful things about Scripture, is how interwoven Scripture is. That the places that they traveled, the meaning of those places. Because it's going to take some things from you and I before God allows you to shoulder that mantle. There are going to be some necessary things that happen in your life before God just allows you here. Here's the ministry. Here's this. Here's a family. There are going to be things that take place before God just allows that mantle to be placed on your shoulders. We see the journey with Elijah, with Elijah. First, they traveled from Gilgal to Bethel, and then from Bethel to Jericho, and from Jericho to Jordan. And it was not a random travel. It was not random travel. Each place, it represented a stage in their spiritual maturity, in the spiritual maturity of Elisha. Gilgal was a place of beginnings and separation, and we see that in Joshua 5:9. Joshua 5:9, it says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of this place is called Gilgal until this day." This is an end of a generation. All of those mighty warriors, those ones that came out of Egypt, have now gone. And they're starting to circumcise those that'll travel into the promised land, the one that God had promised to the Israelites that flowed with milk and honey. There has to first come a place of new beginnings and separation. There must first be salvation. We know that. But then there has to be a sanctification, a separation from the old life. God said, "This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." Every believer must begin with the rolling away of the old life. There can be no mantle until there is a cutting away of the flesh. In Romans 6:6, it says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." See, the problem with the Israelites after they fled from Egypt was not only did they look back because they were afraid that they were going to be captured anyways, but there continued the idol worship and all the things that happened there at the bottom of the mountain. As believers, that should not be so. If we are to shoulder the mantle of God, there needs to be a cutting away of sin in our life. There needs to be a moment in your life where sin no longer has victory. Sin no longer has a grasp. And I know this is a difficult task, it's a difficult feat, but the Spirit of God indwells us. There must be a putting away of sin. There must be a killing, a mortifying of the flesh. Then they traveled to Bethel. Bethel is a place of revelation and worship. See that in Genesis 28. Like I said, guys, this was an incredible study. Genesis 28:16-17. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not." And he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven." There has to be a place of revelation and worship in the believer's life. There has to be a place where we know that surely the Lord is in this place. Because before God can entrust power, He demands intimacy. Psalms 25:14 says, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show him His covenant." Before the mantle can be passed, there has to be an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to know Him, His presence. Before the anointing of God can come upon a man or a woman, there needs to be an intimacy with Jesus. There must be a mortifying of the flesh, but there must be a knowledge of your Savior. Then they traveled to Jericho, which is the place of warfare and victory. We know in Joshua 6:20 that the priest and the people, they marched around the city. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city. In Ephesians 6:12, it says that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with powers, with principalities and powers and workers of evil in high places. If the mantle is to fall to you, you need to understand that it's not things of carnal warfare that we war with, but we need to learn how to use spiritual weapons, because we wrestle not with flesh and blood. Then they traveled over Jordan. Jordan is a place of death and transition. Elijah smote the waters and they parted, which is a picture of dying to self before being raised in the Spirit's power. And we see that in Romans 6:4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in the newness of life. Elijah refused to stay behind at any point, and he trusted every testing was necessary before he could be trusted. He even requested that before Elijah ascended, was caught up in the world, when he said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." This was an ambition. And it's something that we need to realize as we go forward in ministry. It is an ambition. It isn't a look at me. It isn't a request to be known. His request was solely to be aligned to the will of God, like Elijah was. It was an ambition to grow. It was an ambition for everyone to look at him and applaud him for all he had done. It was a desire to align to the will of God and to follow the legacy of Elijah. The double portion was the inheritance of the firstborn, and we see that with Deuteronomy 21:17. But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn, but giving him a double portion of all that he hath, for he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. Paul spoke that same thing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, where he says, "In all the things that thou hast heard of me, commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." God's kingdom advances through impartation. And we see that with Moses to Joshua, with Elijah to Elisha, and with Jesus to his disciples. Elijah picked up the mantle that fell from Elijah. He didn't pray for another one, but he used what had already fallen from heaven. He didn't say, "Lord, give me another ministry." He didn't say, "Lord, I want something of my own that I can call my own." He said, "Can I have a double portion of what you've already given Elijah so I can continue what Elijah had already started?" That's why whenever he approached the Jordan banks, he cried out, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And the waters parted. The mantle represents an anointing that abides. You see it in 1 John 2:27 through 28. The Bible says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." It falls on those who remain faithful through the testing, who follow close even whenever others stand afar off. You notice that 50 men stood afar off watching, but who was next to Elijah? It was Elijah. He followed through the cities, he followed through the testing, and he stayed. Elijah didn't get a new God. He got a personal revelation of the same one. Do you realize in his following of Elijah what Elijah received? He saw the God of Elijah. He wrapped his mantle and he struck the Jordan, and God parted the waters hither and thither. And then what did Elijah do after he picked up the mantle? Where's the Lord God of Elijah? And he smote the waters. And he saw them. He didn't get a new God. He got a personal revelation of the same one. We need a personal revelation of God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He has not changed. The same God of Elijah and Elijah is our God. And then you see those that witness the anointing. They said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." Others can see when God's hand is upon you. And we see it in Acts. They said, "Surely these men have been with Jesus." There is an anointing that comes whenever others view your life and realize how close you are to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is something particular about a man or woman that has spent their life in close proximity with Jesus. You know when someone is called. You can see it as a pattern of their life. The anointing is not proven by noise or by facade. It's proven by evidence. There's evidence in the life of those who are anointed by God. And we see it with Elisha. They saw it with Elisha. They knew that Elijah had been caught up with, well, they thought that God had taken Elijah and put him on the top of a mountain. But Elijah had been caught up in a whirlwind, but they saw the anointing of God fall on Elisha because of the parting of the Jordan. So when the Jordan parts, or when prayers are answered, and when the impossible yields, you start to realize the anointing of God. So what does that mean for us as a church? I don't know. What I do know is that in the last 13 years, I have watched many of our elders pass away. Many of those that were the crux of Rochdale Baptist Church go on to glory. I have watched brothers and sisters that held our arms up in ministry move, go other places, walk into their calling. I have watched things happen to this body that I cannot explain, and I don't know because I am not him. But I do know that if we are to move forward, we need men and women of God that are willing to take up the mantle, that are willing to stop just playing. We have to mortify the flesh. Sin has to die in our life. We have to know him and walk with him and follow him and speak of him. We have to be willing to step into these positions that the church might operate. One of the things that grieves me, honestly, some of the most out of everything is whenever church becomes a business. We must have order and we must have business to conduct church. But what this church needs are men and women of God that are anointed by God to step into ministry, to be willing to give their lives. I'm not just meaning in death. I'm meaning monetarily. I'm meaning time. I'm meaning effort. We need men and women of God that know God, that are anointed by God to fill the positions of the church of God. I don't know what the future looks like for Rochdale Baptist Church. I'm not a prophet. I don't know. But I do know that we need you. The church needs you. If this church is going to continue to do what this church has always done and what I've seen it do in the last 13 years, we need you. We need men that are burdened with ministry. We need women that are burdened with ministry. We need older women that are teaching our younger women how to submit and to run their homes, to rear their children. We need older men to teach our younger men the things of God, to strengthen them, to raise their families, to step into ministry, to leave worldliness. We need men that are anointed, and we know it. There is no question that you've been with Jesus. It's what the church needs. If the mantle falls, we need a generation to pick up the mantle. We need a generation to pick up the mantle. My request is this, is that you don't just stop at Gilgal or Bethel, but you keep pressing on until you reach Jordan. You're forgetting those things which are behind, but we're pressing forth to the mark of the prize of the high calling. I ask that you desire more of God, not for status, but for service. That we would have men and women in this church that are truly anointed of God. that we're not just doing ministry to do ministry. But the moment these people walk through the doors of Rochdale Baptist Church, the presence of God is so overwhelming that He dwells here, that He's pleased with what's going on here. And then if the mantle falls, because it will fall, we don't have a deacon. There's other things that have taken place in the last few months of our church. Do we have men and women that are willing to take up the mantle? Because whenever the mantle falls, because it will, are we able to take up that mantle? Or have we been following so long that we don't even know what it's like to lead? And then remember that the same Spirit that worked in Elijah works in you. We have the same Spirit of God that empowers us whenever we strike the waters, that the Jordan splits hither and thither. That whenever we cry out, "Where is the God of Elijah?" He shows up. That's my question to you this morning. Have you known the God of Elijah? Because what a joy it is to watch Him move. To know that the God that created everything knows you by the very number of hair on your head, and He moves on your behalf. What confidence and boldness that brings. There's boldness that comes in ministry whenever you know Him. It's not just facade and work, but it's a reliance. And He receives glory. The church doesn't need another Elijah. It needs Elijahs who are ready to pick up the mantle. That whenever God takes one servant home, He's already preparing another to stand in the river and say, "Where is the God, the Lord God of Elijah?" Let's pray. Thank You for Your word. Oh God, thank You for loving us. I see Your love with Your people. I see how You're raising men and women. You're worthy. You're worthy that You take this corruptible and You make it incorruptible. God, that You take things that are so unholy and defiled, and You make them holy and pure. I praise You for that this morning. You are so good. I pray, Lord, that as we go into these ministries in the next few months, the reminder of our Savior in His lowly estate, God, that it would be anointed by You. That it wouldn't just be a work, but Father, it'd be something that people would come to know Jesus because of. For our Awana ministry, God, give us patience. Help us to understand the homes that these kids come from. To lay down ourselves. Pray for the preaching of Your word behind this pulpit. God, that it would be what You would have for the church to direct us and guide us, to strengthen us in these days. Lord, I pray for my pastor, his wife. Father, that You would be glorified in all things. That You would receive glory here. pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.